Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
What's going on, and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Only coming at you with Arizona basketball, Dominic Bachaco. I'm Justin Spears. Dominic, it's been a while.
It's been about a week? A little over a week?
Wish we had the
a little more than that.
Wish we had the Nickelback song playing in the background.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
We should be more prepared.
So,
I think that's the only lyric I know from that song. Can you keep going?
That's the only lyric I know.
It's probably not a good thing.
But anyways, we are back in the mix for episode 59. And Arizona basketball moves up to number 14 in the latest AP poll. Arizona State falling to number 4. Falling. They only
dropped
moved down one spot. The Wildcats getting a huge win against the Sun Devils at home, handing ASU their first loss of the season. And just like that, there are no more undefeated teams in college basketball.
Yeah, three.
Great.
Three of them dropped in one day, right?
All in one day. Yep. All in one day. So very interesting scenario going on in college basketball right now, but Arizona ASU, that was one heck of a game.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I don't know about you, but I didn't know if it was going to live up to the hype that
that was going to be a dud.
Yeah, I mean, because there's so much hype around it, and it's ASU Arizona. The rivalry's never been that heated. I mean, you go back to James Harden, but that's when Arizona wasn't ranked. So you haven't really had these two. I don't want to say elite
time.
Pro. I don't want to call Arizona State an elite program yet, but you have these two programs that are kind of hitting their stride at the right time of the year, and
is ASU elite?
One hell of a game.
As much as Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback.
If Joe Flacco's elite, ASU's elite.
All right, Dom. Well, we can't talk about Arizona basketball without talking about, I mean, of course, you know, Alonzo Trier is going to be the face of this team, but I think from top to bottom, in terms of talent, the best player on this team is DeAndre Ayton.
I mean, I'm the cream of the crop.
That Macho Man Randy Savage soundbite never gets old.
Ayton to the Pac-12.
Ayton is the cream of the crop when it comes to the Pac-12. There is not a single player in the Pac-12 that's playing at the level that he's at.
I mean, absolutely.
He's averaging a double-double. Against ASU, he had 23 points and 19 rebounds. I mean,
23 and 19.
That's ridiculous.
What was the say? It was the Bob Elliott stat. Never been done by a freshman since Bob Elliott?
Since 1973.
That's absurd.
So literally, I said this on Twitter. Nobody has grabbed, no freshman in Arizona history has grabbed 19 rebounds since Nam. Literally, since Nam.
Literal.
That is a perfect use of that analogy.
But DeAndre Ayton wins Pac-12 Player of the Week for a second, or not second straight time, but mm-hmm. a second time this year.
Right.
And, I mean, we're looking at DeAndre Ayton, comparing him to other players in the country. I mean, we have to start taking this guy seriously as a National Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I think these are the three names that are getting tossed around. The top two, I think, are pretty solidified right now, unless someone comes out of nowhere. You got Marvin Bagley at Duke, and you got Trae Young at Oklahoma. And
Trae Young's actually a surprise.
Absolutely. But he's up there. I mean, I don't think you could throw another name in there. I mean, so that's what we're saying, right? I think DeAndre Ayton is firmly in that list of top three. I think those are the three guys. One of them's going to get Player of the Year. And what really stood out to me this week, because I watched both these games earlier in the day. I saw a little bit of the Duke-Florida State game, and then I watched Oklahoma knock off undefeated TCU at TCU. And Trae Young just went absolutely off against the number 10 team in the country, at the number 10 team in the country. And Marvin Bagley, let me pull it. I mean, 32 points, 21 rebounds.
Wow.
That was Marvin Bagley. And then let me pull up Trae Young here, because I know he just was ridiculous, too. And it's funny, because everyone's like, okay, well, what's Trae Young got to do? And, you know, what can he do? Well, it was the broadcast, I believe it was on ESPN, they were saying, you know, the TCU coach said if we could hold Trae Young to, you know, 30 points and 10 assists. Then Jamie Dixon. If we hold him to 30 points, 10 assists, then we have a chance. Like, if you hold a guy to 30 and 10 in college basketball, but, yeah, and Trae Young went off for 39 and 14 assists, and they won. So,
yeah.
So, and I watched those two guys, and I was like, okay, so if DeAndre Ayton is really a National Player of the Year candidate, he's got to go have one of those kinds of performances. And he did. He went out had 29 and 13. Not quite as much, you know, hype around, as there is around Marvin Bagley, because Marvin Bagley's a Duke. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, what's that? Eaton's averaging double-double right now. Mm-hmm. I think he has to continue that. I mean, I don't think the 29-13 thing can be an anomaly. I think he's got to do it almost on a consistent basis. I mean, he's got to have a lot of those games, because you look at Marvin Bagley right now, who's just playing out of his mind for Duke. I mean, granted, for Duke, he's getting more of the national media attention. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 21 and 11. And then you look at Trae Young, and again, if Trae Young was at Duke, he'd be the top leader right now. He's 29 and 10 he's averaging. So Ayton's got to get there. He's got to keep having games like he did against ASU, and he's got a shot. But I see guys like Marvin Bagley who plays at Duke, and I think it's going to be tough to kind of dethrone Bagley throughout the season.
Well, and Bagley, I mean, he's got the brand name across his chest, like mm-hmm. you said. And two, I mean, his name is just a brand name.
Right.
We've been hearing about Marvin Bagley ever since he was in eighth grade, mm-hmm. which is crazy to think. When you have that, I mean, I didn't really hear about DeAndre Ayton until just early last year. I didn't hear about DeAndre Ayton literally until 2 months before he committed to Arizona.
Right.
Well, I've been knowing about Marvin Bagley since he was 13.
In high school, yeah.
So Bagley has this mystique around him. He's got the brand name to go along with it in Duke. Duke's probably going to be a Final Four team. Mm-hmm. People are already coining him as the next LeBron. I mean, you look at him, he's got a big stature, but he's also got the length of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And the
guy's good.
He's absolutely ridiculous. He's impressive. He's dynamite. Yeah. He's going to be the future of the NBA. But DeAndre Ayton, 7'1", the athletic ability that he has, and looking at everything that he's done for Arizona, even you exclude the Bahamas trip,
mm-hmm.
where is Arizona without DeAndre Ayton?
Oh,
do they even bounce back from the Bahamas if it wasn't for DeAndre Ayton? That's where you have to look at for National Player of the Year is their impact. Because Duke was going to be Duke regardless of Marvin Bagley, because he reclassified.
Right, but you're right, but I think he kind of – I mean – is Duke a Final Four team without Marvin Bagley this year?
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people are saying
that. No, I get what you're saying. I mean, you take DeAndre Ayton. Yeah, you take Ayton out of the equation. They lose to ASU. They lose to A&M. Possibly lose to Bama.
Mm-hmm.
I think UConn gets really interesting because that was a close game. So I think Arizona, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, if you're talking about most valuable, I think Ayton, it's a hard case to make against him. But
yeah.
Before, really quick, before we talk to Corey Williams here, can we just shout out to the guy who, not a good shout out, I'm not giving this guy credit, shout out to the guy in the AP poll who dropped Arizona 5 spots for beating ASU. I can't let that go. We can't not talk about that. I mean, what was that guy doing the morning he woke up and did these rankings? Because that's just absolutely absurd.
I don't think he owns Pac-12 Networks. I think he's one of those guys that has DirecTV, didn't watch the ASU game because...
Yeah. I mean, didn't even see the score. I mean, he didn't check out all the scores that week in the top 25, because that is just... I mean, the guys... making a case for Arizona number 14 is one thing. I think that's wrong in itself. You know, Arizona State drops one, so they're giving Arizona that credit.
Mm-hmm.
But then Arizona only moves up to 14, which, and I was going to use the comparison, if Arizona lost to the number 17 team in the country at number 17, would they only drop one spot? Probably, because number 17 is Kentucky right now. Mm. But it's just...
So it's not a shout-out, it's more like a call-out.
Right, I'm calling him out.
Not a shout-out, a call-out.
Arizona's better than 14, ASU's probably number 4, that's fine, but is what it is. What do AP rankings mean right now anyway? They're just fun to look at, but...
Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
Numbers are great. Numbers exactly. are great.
What's better than this?
Anyways, one guy, and we're not calling him out, I guess we're going to go ahead and call him in, is ESPN analyst Corey Williams, former Arizona great. This guy will tell us, is DeAndre Ayton the best Arizona freshman that's ever walked in the program? Is he the best player that has ever come to the program? Corey will tell us. Let's go ahead and
drop
call him
the knowledge.
All right, and we're here with ESPN color commentator Corey Williams. Corey, college basketball season is pretty much in full swing. The non-conference schedule is all wrapped up. Pac-12 play is here. Corey, you're a Pac-12 guy yourself. You played at Arizona. You've covered many Pac-12 games over the last many years. Where do you kind of see the conference? Because we're sitting here looking at possibly three teams getting into the NCAA tournament when last year the conference was so loaded from top to bottom. What are your initial thoughts when you think of Pac-12 basketball for this year?
Well, you know, every year the conference looks to have three or four signature programs that, that go out and represent the Pac-12 well in non-conference play. Whether it's bringing home hardware during the holiday tournaments or some big upsets, the Pac-12 has always had two, three, maybe four teams that were nationally respected. Well, you know, after Oregon's Final Four run, UCLA with Lonzo and you know, Arizona had a good year last year, you think some of the blue bloods would be in position to step up and take that role again this year. There was a lot of talk, a lot of hype around USC, who disappointed some with some early losses. Oregon is clearly not the same team. Obviously, a lot of losses there. And as far as Arizona, people are still torn between, you know, what they saw in the Bahamas versus what they saw against ASU. And I'm sorry, but ASU's got some very impressive wins, you know, Kansas and Xavier among those. But I'm still on the fence about them. I don't know how many games you can win with three guys jacking up threes. Now, I mean, it still remains to be seen. But I think this year, if I had to say, keep it simple, everybody on the road is suspect this year, Justin. That's just my opinion. Everyone on the road can get beat. And when you talk about what it takes to get to 15-3, those three are usually road games. The question in this year is, it'll probably the Pac-12 champion may have four or five losses. It's possible.
Wow.
I mean, when you look at the way Arizona played, not that they haven't improved since the Bahamas, but you look at Utah getting the road sweep. That's huge for the Utes. Mm-hmm. And they're definitely trying to get a split this weekend, and they're hosting the top two teams in the conference.
Yeah.
So this weekend, like every weekend, it'll be about the small victories. But I think the conference is good. I think this is one of the years where you can really point to the – you can see the effect that the NBA draft has had on the Pac-12 over the last few years, no more than this year. I mean, they're constantly draining – the Pac-12 of all the talent year after year. And this is a year where a lot of things are even. So it'll be interesting to see.
And you mentioned Arizona, and you said you were kind of still on the fence. You said you were still on the fence with the Wildcats, right?
Well, I think that they're definitely a top 10 team. They stumbled. They have to learn. My thing with Arizona was when I watch Arizona play, I'm looking for consistency. That same bucket, that same play four or five times in a game. When you know you've got bread and butter and it's obvious and coaches can't stop it no matter what, then you can look at a schedule and say Arizona's the favorite in these games and they should win. Arizona's been winning in a variety of different ways, you know, throughout the last five or six games. So I think getting the most out of a player like Raleigh Alkins, getting the most out of Trier, you're already getting the most you're ever going to get out of DeAndre Ayton. I mean, what more can he do for Arizona? I mean, he single-handedly put them in position to win against Arizona State. When I say I'm on the fence about Arizona, I think they're the favorite to win the league, and I think they're obviously talented enough to make a deep tournament run. But when I look back at the way that they were losing, I'm just going to say I felt like there was a lack of leadership with that particular squad. As talented as they were, there was nobody willing to step up and lead. And I think Alonzo Trier thought that he could lead the team by scoring a lot of points. And that's not necessarily leadership. But if you look at the way he played against Arizona State, he let everybody get involved. He didn't force any issues. But when it was go time, he ended up with some very big plays, got to the free throw line, and was able to make the plays down the stretch. So the Arizona team I saw against Arizona State looked like a league champion. No question about it.
And who could – I mean, you say Alonzo Trier has to be that leader. What other players could you see possibly filling that void? Because Sean Miller said in Tuesday's press conference that Parker Jackson Cartwright has kind of been the quiet leader. And, I mean, Dusan Ristic has stepped up in the last couple games. I mean, I'm just sitting here looking across the board and it's like, well, I mean, somebody other than a freshman's got to be a leader.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with Sean Miller and be realistic. You know, Parker Jackson Cartwright's a great guy, great player, good kid. Dusan Ristic, senior, got to tip your hat to anybody who's paid his dues and been in the program. But there's no way that either one of those guys are leaders. When you talk about leaders following somebody into battle, I hate to be one of those guys to say back in my day, but here we go. Back in my day, I played with NBA lottery picks every year. And they were leaders. They were the first guys in the weight room. They were the last guys to leave practice. They would make sure that everybody on the team was in the right frame of mind, whether it was on the court, off the court. And I have no idea how their dynamic is off the court. I'm pretty sure they're a well-knit group. But my point is, your most talented players have to be vocal. You need a guy to inspire other players. Alonzo Trier makes plays, and Raleigh Alkins make plays that inspire their guys to get into the game. Early on, Arizona got some big production from their bench, which got guys inspired. So I think, you know, I hate to say, but when you talk leaders, there's a certain amount of talent that has to go along with leadership. And clearly, those are your two more talented wing players. And I don't know if it's in their personality to be vocal or not, but they're going to need that down the stretch for sure.
Hey, what's up, Corey? It's Dominic Pacheco. You talked a little bit about, you know, how there's always those three, four staples in the staple programs in the Pac-12 every year. And this year, I mean, we always got Arizona. We got Arizona State. Like you said, USC was supposed to be there, but I mean, are there any other teams that can step up and be competitive and make a run in Arizona, Arizona State? Because right now, I mean, Pac-12 is looking at two shoo-ins in the tournament and maybe a third in USC.
Yeah, the Bay is a complete disaster right now.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, to say the least.
Oregon, you know, I was willing to forgive them that buzzer beater against Boise State, but to let the Utes come in and steal one. You know, Utah's not a team that anybody talked about, but here they are 2-0, and if they can pull off a split this weekend, Utah's in great shape to beat the lesser schools. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who that third team – I mean, obviously I think it will be USC. They're way too talented to end up outside the top four in the Pac-12. That's just not going to happen. Between Metu and Boatwright and the play out front, they're super solid. I think those are the three teams that will probably get in the tournament. I think when you go to Vegas, I hate to say it, but it's probably going to be the most boring thing around because everybody's just going to be waiting for SC, Arizona State, and U of A to play each other in whatever format that format that takes place in. That's when you go over to Vegas, that's what you're going to be looking at. There'll be no other bubble teams at that point, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's not like in years past where, you know, you're looking for a fourth or 15 to play their way into an at-large bid. That probably won't be the scenario in Vegas come March.
I mean, so what's that do for the rest of the Pac-12? Because, I mean, you look at how thin it is this year. Arizona's fortunate because so is ASU. They're kind of in the same boat. They both have two top 10 wins already, Arizona State being over Xavier in Kansas. Arizona has A&M and Arizona State. But, I mean, you look at Arizona, they're not going to play another ranked team, really, realistically. Yeah, the rest of the year until ASU. So, I mean, how is that? I mean, that's got to hurt the Pac-12 down the stretch, right?
It hurts the Pac-12 tremendously because no money can be earned. It can only be lost. Arizona can only give up RPI points to other people. They can't gain any by beating up on lesser teams for the next 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So you look at it, you say, wow, where's the chance for a team? I mean, other teams and other conferences have to fall off, and Pac-12 teams have to post wins in order to creep down into the rankings, but there's just not the power. There's no power to be grabbed. It's just a real unfortunate situation, but that's what it is. You guys hit the nail on the head.
Corey, just out of curiosity, whenever people talk about DeAndre Ayton, they make him seem like nobody has ever seen a player like him. And personally, I've never seen a player like him come into Arizona. Just from you seeing the program, being a part of the program, where does DeAndre Ayton rank in terms of all-time players, freshmen, whatever you can think of?
I'm not going to rank him in terms of all-time players because at Arizona, you've had Warriors that were in the program for 3 or 4 years and dominated conference play back when the option to leave after 1 year wasn't that popular. So you got guys whose numbers are going to dwarf his. Their stats are going to dwarf his. So I always go by, and once again, I'm old school, if I'm in the gym picking my five and I've got all the Arizona greats in their prime in front of me, who am I taking as my big man? So if I rank DeAndre Ayton shoulder to shoulder with Arizona big man, I got to still say, as a freshman, he's one of the most impressive players I've ever seen, regardless of his age. He reminds me of a Bryan Williams. And I was telling someone this the other day. I said, the reason he reminds me of B-Dub is if you go back and watch Bryan Williams at Arizona, he did things that were athletically insane, and he made them look easy. Now, he wasn't nearly the athlete. He couldn't jump as well as Ayton. He didn't have the timing. He didn't have the outside shot. But Bryan Williams around the rim, it looked like he was playing on a Nerf hoop, and that's what DeAndre Ayton looks like. That's the last above-the-rim dunk-type big man we had. Jordan Hill would play above the rim from time to time, but he wasn't nearly as forceful as Ayton was. Ayton is a force where guys are just hanging on for dear life, and he's just dunking the ball. Bryan Williams used to do that. And if you ever want to, you know, brush up on it, fans out there, go watch some old Bryan Williams tapes. It was like a man-child. They used to call him the man-child. It was ridiculous. And that's who Ayton reminds me of.
Okay. So we're not going to, like you said, if, say, the best big men out of Arizona basketball history, I mean, you go back and, I mean, you look at Lauren Woods, Channing Frye, Jordan Hill, I mean, Sean Rooks. There were so many great players that are coming into Arizona. You're going to put him on pretty much lower on the totem pole.
If I'm picking him, he's in my top five. Ayton would be. Sean Rooks as a senior against Ayton as a freshman isn't a fair matchup because Wookie was an NBA guy. There's no question about it. Ayton would be in foul trouble against Rooks. He would be in foul trouble against Bryan Williams. Now, you compare Ayton to those guys at the same age, Ayton is light years ahead of those guys.
Okay.
18, 19 years old. It's not even close.
Yeah.
For if you're talking about everybody at his age, no, he's the best freshman big man ever to suit up in Arizona.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if we're going to put everybody, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing about it. This kid is reminding me of Bryan Williams when Bryan Williams was a senior.
Yeah.
Oh, could you even?
And I know, I think B-Dub went a year early. I can't remember. I think he may have left a year early. But my point is, Ayton doesn't even have the option to stick around for 3 more years. So it's an unfair comparison. This kid at 18 is being mentioned along and doing things that I remember guys that were 21, 22 years old doing. So, yeah, he's a phenomenal talent.
It would just be unbelievable. If he was here for 3, 4 years, that would just be unfair.
Yeah, I know.
It's unfair, man.
Right now. It literally is unfair right now. And, you know, it just is what it is. But, yeah, I think he's definitely – nobody's come in that gifted as a freshman. Mm-hmm. There's been no Arizona big man that talented at his age ever. I have no problem making that statement. I dare anyone to challenge that. That's just the truth.
Challenge Corey Williams at College Corey.
No freshman has come into Arizona that nice at 18.
Couldn't have said it better.
Now we go overall positions, and then I got to throw Bibby into the mix. Bibby came in. He was nice as a freshman. He helped hang a banner as a freshman.
Yep.
If Ayton can get to the Final Four, now you're talking Mike Bibby status. Impact freshman.
Okay.
You know, what do you do for the program? We know what your skills are, but where did you take the program? See, there's always that line between basketball players of who's nice and who got it done.
Yeah.
I like that.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
I like that.
It's like, yeah, Gil was nice. Gil would put you on, you know, but did you get it done? You know, and we've had guys that have done well for themselves. Jason Terry put the team on his back, got it done.
Mm-hmm.
So So when we're all sitting around and we're hanging out at Coach's house or we're going to a Warriors game and Steve and those guys, there's two different conversations.
Yeah.
You know, who's putting up the numbers and who got a Final Four ring?
And who's getting
Damon and Khalid got it done. So it's like, you can celebrate your highlights and you can celebrate your points, and that's cool. But did we get a conference title? Did you get some jewelry? So two different conversations. But, you know, like I said, that's for us old guys to sit there and go back and forth about. But honestly, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see, for all of their fame and their hard work, I'd like to see those guys, you know, get that Pac-12 title, get that, you know, Las Vegas tournament title, and get that Final Four ring.
Absolutely. You know? Hey, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the all-time leader in three-point percentage in Arizona Final Four history, correct?
That was my own personal stat, but I don't know if it's still true because one year Arizona went to the Final Four, I was 4-for-6. And I don't know what that comes out to, but it's pretty doggone good.
That's a damn good percentage.
I was 4-for-6 at the Final Four, and I don't know that anybody's tied that or beat that. So that's my own little way of making myself feel special.
Hey, so I'm just saying, one of the best college programs in the country, that's a pretty nice stat to have. So.
Well, you know what I tell people? I say, yeah, when the chips was down, I was the only one that showed up. But the truth is, when the chips was down, I was the one that they left open. You can look at it any way you
want. Hey, for better or for worse, you hit four of them, so that's all that matters,
out
right?
Out of six. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I ran into Nolan Richardson a couple years later when I was still trying to play pro ball. I was playing for Team Converse, and we went over to Arkansas and had an exhibition game against them. And he looked and he saw me in the layup line. He said, "Not you again." I'm back. And then the guy asked me, "So who the heck is that guy?" He said, "That's Corey Williams. He almost single-handedly beat us in the Final Four a couple years ago." And he looked at me and said, "What the heck are you doing playing for Team Converse?" I said, "Man, I'm chasing the dream."
All right.
So, yeah. Good times.
All right, well, that is former Arizona Wildcat and current ESPN analyst Corey Williams. Corey, we always appreciate you, man. Seriously, anytime you can come on the podcast, we'd love to have you. Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Special thanks to Corey Williams for hanging out with Dom and myself. Arizona will take on the Utah Utes this Thursday at 7 o'clock. You can catch that game on ESPN. Should be a fun one. The Arizona's first Pac-12 road trip. How does Arizona match up against Utah? I mean, Utah, they swept the Oregon schools. Mm-hmm. And I get it, Oregon's having a down year. But however,
it's huge road, yeah.
Playing against Oregon at Oregon is always going to be a tough environment. Even the Beavers, mm-hmm. I mean, they seem to really hold their own at home, but
Corey Williams said it. I mean, those road wins are going to be huge this year. If you could split, you're looking for splits realistically, and they just went to Oregon and swept them. So mm-hmm. to start Pac-12, so they already have a leg up on really the rest of the conference. I mean, someone else is going to have to go do that to match Utah.
So we're sitting here and talking about matchups and Arizona in their front court. Dusan Ristic, DeAndre Ayton. One is a 7-footer, the other one is 7'1". I mean, we're looking at a mismatch pretty much every single week that whatever team Arizona faces.
Yeah.
However, we're sitting here looking across the board, and they have one forward, David Collette, who is
6'10".
6'10". Mm-hmm. He's going to be matching up against DeAndre Ayton because he is their most athletic forward that they have, and plus he has a size, and he's a senior, so this is going to be another year where he plays against Arizona. It's still probably not going to be enough. Utah has five players that are scoring in double figures every single game. I just don't see Arizona matching up well.
I'm looking at one number here, and this is the number that personally I go to in every Arizona matchup because I think it's what makes Arizona stand out so much. I've talked about this before. I think the one advantage Arizona will have over every single team they play this year is that They have 2 7-footers. Yeah. And I think that's so hard to match up against. So I'm looking at rebounding margins here in the Pac-12. Oregon's actually the number one. They're plus 7.1. Arizona's number two at plus 6.2. And you look at Utah, they have a plus 2 rebounding margin.
Yep.
So, I mean, size-wise, they might match up with Arizona maybe better than anyone else in the conference. Because, I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at every roster up and down. I don't think there's a lot of teams that come close, as Utah does. They got 6'10". They got a 7-footer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7-footer. So they'll match up well size-wise, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to dominate inside. You still got DeAndre Ayton. You still got Dusan Ristic, who is – numbers aren't great, but he's having a career year at Arizona. And Sean Miller's talked about his importance to this team. I just don't see Utah matching Arizona's intensity level inside. And you can be as big as you want. When you got a guy with like DeAndre Ayton inside, you got to outplay him for, I mean, a majority of the game, and that's just not going to happen.
Well, that 7-footer for Utah that you were talking about was Jace Johnson.
Jace Johnson.
And I look at him, and he reminds me almost like another version of Caleb Tarzewski. He looks just like Caleb Tarzewski. And, I mean, if we're saying he's going to be a bootleg version of Caleb Tarzewski.
7'2", 235 too.
Zeus wore number 35. This guy wears number 34.
There you go.
So he's kind of like a peg down.
One less than Zeus.
From Zeus. Kobe wears 24 to be one up than Jordan.
There you go.
This guy wears 34 to be one down from Zeus. So anyways, let's go ahead and hear from Arizona head coach Sean Miller about facing the Utes in Salt Lake City.
Well, Utah is playing as well.
Oh, correction. Sorry. I accidentally hit the power off button.
I thought you were pulling out a rap horn in the middle of Sean Miller.
All right, Sean Miller, take two and action.
Well, Utah is playing as well as anybody in our conference. They're 10-3. You know, anytime you go on a road and win, especially in the Oregon's against the Oregon schools, you know, at Oregon has been a very, very tough game, and for them to win that one and Oregon State, I think says a lot about their team. They have balanced scoring, 5 players in double figures. You know, we're familiar with a number of their players, especially Collette. I think he's one of the best low post scorers that we'll face all year. And, you know, Larry Kostowiak does a great job with his program, coaching his team. We know that's a really great home court that they have in Salt Lake City. So we're going to have to be ready to go.
Yeah, so.
And another guy you were telling me earlier, Miller talked about today, is their guard Bibbins. I don't even know. He's a senior guard, 5'8". He's going to match up well with Parker, and that's going to be an interesting matchup, I think, to keep an eye on. But like I said, Parker, get the ball down low, and you're fine. Mm-hmm. Don't turn the ball over, if Bibbins puts pressure on him, maybe force some turnovers and get out in transition, but you're going to have to do it enough to keep up with Ayton and Arizona's high-powered offense. Looking at Bibbins, he's a senior transfer from Long Beach State. Played at McHale Center 2 years ago, 2015, in 30 minutes, put up 13.7 assists, so 5-7 shooting from the floor. He's not. I mean, I don't see him being a difference maker, but I mean, he can. If he locks down PJC for some turnovers, it can be interesting.
And he's no stranger to the Arizona guards,
right?
Because that year, that was Kadeem Allen's first year. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about Kadeem Allen being the lockdown defender that he was? I mean, other than that, Parker Jackson Cartwright was there. Alonzo Trier was there.
Their 3 starting guards that game were Alonzo Trier, Gabe York, and Kadeem Allen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this Justin Bibbins is very familiar with this Arizona guard lineup, but I think he'll have a solid game. However, Parker Jackson Cartwright, you got one job and one job only.
Don't turn the ball over.
Don't turn the ball over.
Get the ball to Ayton.
Get the ball to Ayton.
Right.
That's simple. You have the outside jumper, go ahead and knock it down, because Parker is a very smart shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to take the shot when he wants to. And also another thing about Parker that I noticed against ASU is he's starting to drive to the basket a little bit more. I like his aggressiveness.
He's shifty. He can get through the lane for how small he is. It surprises you. Absolutely.
So anyways, Dom, quick prediction, Arizona-Utah. How do you see this game going?
I like Arizona by about 15.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know
what the line is, but
neither do I. It's I can look it up here. Give me your prediction.
I don't think it's going to be a 15-point game. Oh man,
you think they keep it closer?
It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be maybe a 8 to 9 point game. I see it getting up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Utah kind of making a late game run, but kind of like a day late and a dollar short kind of situation where Arizona's pretty much already got in the bag. The walk-ons are in. You're going to see Utah get on like a quick like 6-0 run to end the game.
Right. I mean,
I think Arizona wins pretty handily.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's Utah's best shot. I don't think you can match up well inside. I don't think they're going to win the rebounding margin. So I think they're going to have to force Arizona into some pretty silly mistakes, and they're going to have to get out in transition, which teams haven't been able to do at will. I should say they haven't been able to do at will this year, and Utah's going to have to kind of enforce that against PJC. And PJC is just too smart with the ball, so I don't see it happening.
Way too smart.
Yeah.
Anyways, that'll do it for episode 59. For Dominic, I'm Justin. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Wildcaster and like us on Facebook. And we also have a new kind of addition to the Tucson.com website. We have our own podcast tab. Or you can go to the sports page, click on Arizona Wildcats, scroll down a little bit. You'll see basketball articles, you'll see football articles, and then you'll see all the podcasts. So if you're at work, feel free to tune in and listen on our website.
Easy way to get there is Tucson.com/Wildcast.
Or Wildcast.
Right.
I forgot about
absolutely.
The shortcut.
Yeah, you got to get the shortcut.
See,
we're all about shortcuts here.
We want to work smarter, not harder.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
And as always, the app. Download that app. Way. It is free. App you always have it handy. We send out push notifications.
Everything's
you can see
there.
All of our videos, podcasts, articles, everything you need to know about the Arizona Wildcats. Anyways, for Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time after the Wildcats play the Utah Utes.